Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we're live on the air right now. We're here, as we are every day at this time, to talk about how the Word of God can help you experience true life and freedom in our Lord Jesus Christ. You can call right now, 1-800-677-9377. We want to talk about how the Basic Gospel can intersect with your daily life. It usually does, as a matter of fact. Don't wait. Call right now. 1-800-677-9377. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Paul wrote this in Galatians 4, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law that we might receive the full rights of son. So there was a price that was paid. Jesus Christ paid that price to redeem us. And this word redemption ties just hand in glove to the word freedom. He bought us out of the slave market. We were slaves to sin and death. He bought us out of that market and set us free so that we could experience true freedom. So if you want to know what freedom is, it's first and foremost being redeemed from under the law of sin and death. He talks about that in Galatians 3 as well. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. You and I were cursed by the law. We were under the condemnation and the punishment of the law. That was a curse, and we lived under that curse until Christ set us free. And he did so by becoming a curse for us, because it says, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. So we have been released from the law of sin and death. Paul goes on to talk about that in Romans 7. For when we were controlled by the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our body so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. So here are some handles to grab hold of as far as this freedom that you have in Christ is all about. You know, we talk about freedom. That's a big word. What does it look like? How were we set free? Well, the Bible gives us some very specific, tangible truths about how that took place. And all of it happened through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. His shed blood was the purchase price, the redemption price, to set us free from the law of sin and death. When we come to him by faith, we're released from that law so that we can serve in the new way of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And when we start serving in the new way of the Spirit, that's when ultimate freedom becomes ours.
Absolutely. Well, of course, this is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. My name is Bob Davis. We're glad that you've joined us today, everybody. We want you to be a part of the program. Just give us a call, 1-800-677-9377. If you've got something you'd like to discuss, perhaps a Bible passage you'd like to get clearer understanding on, great opportunity. The lines are pretty much wide open right now, so if you call now, you will get through. 1-800-677-9377. Lines open right now.
Thanks, Bob. We're going to go to New Jersey and talk to Mike listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Mike.
Good afternoon. God bless you, gentlemen.
Well, thank you.
I have a question. I just, unfortunately enough for me, I just received some bad news about my mother. She doesn't look good right now. I asked for a prayer on that. But on yesterday's show, I believe it was, you gentlemen said that when the body passes on, essentially the body is asleep until the rapture, but the spirit goes directly to heaven for believers, which fortunately my mom, she taught me everything I know. You know, she is a believer more than anyone that I know of. What I'd like to know is, this is for several family members that I try to speak the gospel to every chance I get. What happens to those that are not saved once they pass on, as opposed to a saved spirit going to heaven?
Well, it talks about, you know, a great white throne judgment. There's going to be a point in time where those who were not saved will be called out of the graves. They will stand before that great white throne. and they will be judged. And the judgment will be, you know, the verdict will be eternal separation from God, and then they will be cast into the lake of fire, just as Satan was thrown into that lake of fire. So that is their ultimate destiny. Now, what happens to those, you know, who were lost? What happens to their souls? You know, there's indication that, you know, I think Luke 16 kind of gives a picture of Hades being separated into two compartments. There's the upper part, which we would know of as paradise. The saints of old would have gone there. And then there was another place. And those who had rejected Christ, who were not part of the family of God, would have gone there. I think that's the only place in Scripture that really speaks to, you know, what would happen to those who were lost once they die.
And they would remain there until the day of judgment.
I think that is correct.
Yes, that's more or less what I had thought would occur. As I said, when I speak to my family members, I try and instill, you know, as much as my knowledge goes for the gospel towards them, and trying to see if they're saved. I'll make room for the other callers. If you gentlemen could just keep my mother in your prayers, I'd appreciate it.
Well, we will, and thank goodness she knows the Lord and
knows his
love and grace and mercy. That's a wonderful truth, and that anchors you through times like this. And so just keep leaning into the Lord, keep trusting him, keep resting in his goodness and grace.
Tell you the truth, he's the only one that's keeping me my feet on the ground right now.
Absolutely. He's the only one that can.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, amen, and God bless you, gentlemen.
Well, thanks for your call, Mike, and God bless you as well.
Yes, indeed. 1-800-677-9377, something you'd like to discuss, give us a call. 1-800-677-9377. Guys, a very, very interesting question and a very trying situation for a lady named Fidella, who writes to us from Carson, California. Said, I just had extensive surgery for stage 2 endometrial cancer with a 25 to 35% chance of recurrence. The doctor has suggested chemo and radiation. A Christian friend told me that God loves us. He wants the very best for us, and to him nothing is impossible. She quoted the Bible about having faith as small as a mustard seed being able to move mountains. Just trust in him totally and you'll be cured without the radiation chemotherapy. She also equated taking chemo and radiation to lack of faith and trust in God. Fidella says that I'm also a believer in Christ. I want to go for chemo and radiation, but I do not equate this as to not having faith in God, that he is capable of anything. Even the children of God are not diseased nor problem-free, and if you call on his name and put your trust in him according to his will be blessed abundantly. If I have chemo and radiation, does this amount to a lack of faith in God? I'm afraid of taking chemo and radiation treatments because of the side effects as well as the cost for the treatment. I believe that if God... it is God's will. I will be cancer-free without the side effects, and he will provide. My friend says she believes that God will heal me from the cancer without chemo and radiation. I'm really confused now because I believe to God nothing is impossible if he wills it. What's your take on this?
Well, interesting question.
Sure is.
And certainly there's a lot of people that out there in that same type of situation. Maybe it's not cancer. Maybe it's some other illness. And it's just as natural as breathing to cry out to God for physical healing. But we know in this world, not everybody is physically healed. Folks will die. All of us are going to die. This body is going to wear out unless the Lord comes back beforehand. So we know we're going to die of something. And we sometimes put all of these expectations out there. God, if I just pray hard enough, if I just do the right things, if I just give enough money, if I just reach out to others in your name, you know, more than, you know, you can imagine, then you need to heal me.
Yeah.
And that's just not how it works. Some are healed, some aren't, but all die. You know, those that were healed in the past, they've died. And more than likely, they've died of some other illness, some other disease. So we put so much stock in God doing something for us in this temporary life, and yet don't put a lot of stock in what he's already done for us as far as the eternal is concerned. For this particular lady, she's in Christ. She's received the greatest miracle anyone could ever receive, and that is going from death to life. She's been born again into the family of God, and she can face death with confidence, knowing that either way is a good situation. If she's healed, that means she goes on with Christ here and now, and God can use her to advance his kingdom. If she doesn't get healed, she's going to go and be with Christ in his presence forever. It's a win-win situation, and so you can face death with utter confidence, knowing that either way is a good thing. Now, those who come along, and we'll call them Job's friends, and provide the counseling that her friend gave her, shame on that person.
Sure.
You know, to equate somebody's faith or lack of faith with whether they're getting healed or not, that is, to me, an abomination as far as the Word of God is concerned. That is not something that we should be involved in. I can't see a person's heart. I can't see what's going on in there. And I certainly can't judge what's going on in a person's heart by the situations that they're in. If that had been, if that were the case, we would look at the Apostle Paul and say he was a midget as far as the faith is concerned. I mean, he had trouble every single day of his life. If he had only trusted the Lord, if he had only had enough faith, he could have been rich and healthy and wealthy and wouldn't be at the end of his life sending his friends to bring his coats because he was cold. And starving, and all of the things. So if that woman's theology is correct, we'd look at Paul and say he had no faith at all. And so we've got to get rid of that. For some, faith brings about all kinds of success from an external standpoint. Mm-hmm. For others, it brings all sorts of persecution. That's what we see in the book of Hebrews. But it doesn't matter the circumstance. All are going to be commended for their faith. And so for you, stand firm in who you are in Christ. Stand firm in the fact that God loves you, and let him give you the wisdom to make the decisions you feel and believe are best for you.
Absolutely.
Not to appease someone else, not to gain their favor or gain their acceptance, but you allow the Lord to lead you in this situation. It's your body, not theirs.
Absolutely.
It's your faith in Christ, not theirs. Let you uniquely decide what's going to happen in this situation.
Fidel, I hope you're listening and hope this has been a help to you. I know it's a trying situation, but hopefully what Bob has just shared will have a significant make a significant difference in your life. And friends, if you have a question that you'd like to pose, can't get to the phone during the course of the live broadcast, why, we encourage you to drop us an email at basicgospel.net. You know, guys, our newest product, Gateway to Grace, addresses the issue we all sometimes experience, the issue of just slogging through every day filled with fear and guilt. You can break free, friends, and gain so much more out of life. Let the powerful truth of this series swing open the door to a life of freedom and love. Gateway to Grace can be yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel during the month of July. To order, to request yours, just go online to basicgospel.net, or you can call 1-800-727-2828. That's our order line number, 1-800-727-2828, for Gateway to Grace. Yours this month for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Well, the lines are still wide open, friends. We want to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377. Guys, an interesting question from Carolyn, who writes to us from Midlothian, Texas. We live in a society, she says, where it's unnatural to most husbands if their wives do not work, rather is the homemaker. I am married and have the desire to be a homemaker, as I know in my heart that's what God has called me to do. I'm not cut out to be the career person I've been during the course of my marriage. I become so discouraged because I know my husband wants me to always work. What does God's word say that a wife's full-time job ought to be, career woman or housewife?
Well, it doesn't give a job description in the Bible at all. It simply says to, you know, submit to your husband. Of course, that's a mutual submission. That's in a greater context. It says to, you know, nurture your children. You have natural instincts as a mom as far as how to care for your children. Just live those out. But as far as whether you work outside the home or work in the home, I think that's a decision that you and your husband make together. Maybe there's a time where finances are tough, and so for the sake of the family, you go to work to help with the finances. Or, you know, maybe there's a time where things are going on with the kids, and you're needed with them all the time. And so you make that decision. So I think it's something that you and your husband need to sit down and decide together. Look at the pros and cons, get on the same page, and then carry out what the two of you have decided to do in this particular situation. But, you know, whether a wife should work outside the home or inside the home, the Bible just doesn't really speak to that in detail. We know the mom wants to be a mom, but it's really kind of a marriage issue. How are the two of you uniquely? This is your decision. This isn't somebody else's decision. This is your decision. How is God's Spirit leading you as husband and wife in this regard? That's the big deal right there.
Absolutely. Carolyn, hope that's been a help to you. This is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis. Thanks for joining us, and you can join us by phone at 1-800-677-9377. A question from Kelly in Tampa. Concerning church leaders and people who teach the Levitical law, if they know and understand that the Old Covenant and Levitical priesthood were replaced by the New Covenant and the priesthood ushered in by Christ, whether intentional or not, will they be held accountable for those they kept under the law? That's from Kelly in Tampa.
Well, James talks about, you know, the greater judgment to those who teach. Our job as teachers, preachers, whatever it might be, is to present the gospel. As Paul said, we proclaim Christ. This isn't a message about rules and regulations. This isn't a message about ritual. This isn't a message about a particular way of life. This is a message about Jesus. Jesus is our Savior. Once we receive Him, Jesus becomes our very life. And our job is to learn how to trust Him. And the job of pastors, the job of teachers, the job of prophets is to equip the saints to learn to walk by faith. That's the job. That's the role. Now, if somebody is moving people away from Christ, because if you're teaching the law, you're not teaching Jesus. You're teaching your ability to live up to the righteous standards of the law. Under the law, it's a message all about you. And every single night, if you're trying to live up to the law, every single night you look back on the day and you ask the question, how well did I do? It's all about you.
Yeah.
That's just the nature of the law. Well, if you're really looking at the law and really seeing it for what it is, you're going to conclude, I didn't do very well. As a matter of fact, I failed miserably. And as a matter of fact, I'm doomed. I have been judged by the law. I have been condemned by the law. And eventually, if nothing happens, I'm going to be punished severely by the law. And if you come to that, then you're open to receive Christ. Because you can say, well, wait a minute. Maybe somebody's there who can save me. Maybe somebody's there who can fulfill the law on my behalf. Somebody is there, maybe, who can set me free so that I can experience life everlasting. And so if you really look at the law and see it for what it is, you're going to conclude that you need a Savior. And when you're there, you're ready to receive Christ. Mm-hmm. But those who keep teaching that you can live up to the law, I think they're teaching the wrong message. As a matter of fact, here's what here's what Paul said to Timothy. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they are talking about or what they so confidently affirm.
That's a pretty strong indictment.
That's
isn't
a key
it?
Point too, because the beginning of the question was the assumption or presumption that pastors know that we're not under law, but they teach it anyway. Most pastors don't know. They make all these bold claims, and they do not know the gospel. I was one of those pastors back in the day. Miserable myself, so I figured everybody else ought to be miserable with me, so I taught the law. And until I discovered that the law was there to drive me to Jesus, I was just as confused as the next person. And there are many, many pastors who are in that.
So what is the purpose of the law? I think that's a great question to ask and answer. Mm-hmm. Paul asked that. What then is the purpose of the law? Galatians 3:19. And it's a legitimate question.
Yes.
And the purpose of the law, God's intended purpose from a spiritual standpoint, was to convict us of sin, to show us our need for Savior, for a Savior, to drive us into the arms of Jesus Christ. And once it's done that, once it's fulfilled its purpose, the law steps back and gives way to Jesus Christ, almost in the same way that John the Baptist gave way to Jesus once he came upon the scene. John had a purpose, and his purpose was to identify Jesus as the Messiah to the people of Israel. Once that purpose was fulfilled, John stepped away, and he said this, he must increase, Jesus, and I must decrease, John the Baptist. And that's exactly what happened. As soon as Jesus took center stage, you didn't hear much about John the Baptist at all. Why? Because his mission, his purpose, had been satisfied. Once the law has done its mission, its purpose in our lives, not going to hear much about it. Why? Because Jesus takes center stage in our lives. Jesus becomes the head. Jesus becomes the leader. And all of our attention and focus needs to be on him. So anyone who is teaching another message is not teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
To teach that salvation comes through obedience to the law, that's not good news, nor does it bring joy to the heart. It will crush you. It will just crush you dead. But that's its purpose. And once it has, you can turn to him by faith. This is really all about this freedom that we're talking about. I mean, I need to be set free from myself. I can't live up to the righteous requirements of the law. Why? Because me, apart from Christ, is under the domination of sin. It's under the control of the flesh. It's being moved. I'm being moved through this world by the philosophies of this world that are being generated by Satan himself. I'm doomed. And so I need to be set free from myself so that I can experience this new relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the gospel message. And Jesus is this great rescuer that sets us free so that we can experience him.
That's very interesting, being set free from myself.
Yes,
usually we are steeped in the law, aren't we?
Yeah. Yes, we are.
Well, thanks for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody, and thanks for helping to keep this program on the air live each day with the truth that sets us free, which you've just heard, as a matter of fact. To say thank you for your generous gift this month, we're going to send you our newest CD series called Gateway to Grace. It's made up of 6 messages and a study guide to help you see the truth about many of our traditional religious beliefs and practices, allowing you to see how it can impact your life today and every day, opening the door to a deeper experience of God's love and grace. This month, for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel, we'll send you Gateway to Grace. To make your gift and request yours, go online to basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net, or you can call and speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time business hours. That's Gateway to Grace, yours this month, for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel at 1-800-727-2828. Just order yours through that number. You know, at Basic Gospel, we think social media is a good thing, and we hope you'll like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. We'll see you tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. Bye-bye.